This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
This is indeed Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. Solly and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios. Steve and Danny have their thoughts on the show tonight. They're not physically here, but they have sent us their thoughts and their pigskin picks. We'll get to all that later on. Plenty to talk about today. We could have gone into possibility of free agency in Major League Baseball, which has started, but there's been no big moves yet.
That's surprising on its own right.
Well, then again, nobody's picked up on Giancarlo Stanton, which I think is a big reason why there haven't been too many moves made.
Well, I'm sure teams had their eyes on other players and stuff, but I guess you're right, just waiting to see where the money market is for Giancarlo.
I mean, he's locked into the contract, and the Marlins might not even trade him, but that's another argument for another day.
Exactly.
We got stuff to talk about with the Knicks and the NHL. We might get to that if we have time.
And that's a big if because of the news breaking on the day of recording.
Yep, the day of recording is that the New York Giants.
Not New York Giants.
Yeah.
You're talking about the team in San Francisco, but those Giants are not talking about.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Jimmy Garoppolo is starting for the 49ers.
Yes, he is.
We're going to talk about that for 45 minutes, aren't we?
Why the hell not? So Jimmy Garoppolo just started quarterback in San Francisco, and outside of San Francisco, who the hell really cares?
Exactly. So what's the real big story there, Matt?
The real big story...
For us here living in the New York City area.
Yeah. So for those listening in Mile High Radio in Denver, we apologize.
Yeah, because you have Trevin Siemian back as a starting quarterback.
And that's a cluster bleep in and of itself.
And we can talk about that forever, but, you know, it's Trevor Siemian, and it's... Not as big as what just happened here in New York.
Yeah, no. Eli Manning.
Seriously, this must be one of the biggest, craziest things and one of the most diverse football opinions that I've heard on sports talk radio in the hours it broke through.
And not only that, but I'm sure you're going to be hearing it all week leading up from the day it broke right up until this show airs, and you're going to hear our opinions, obviously.
Yes.
But I would expect something like this out of the New York Jets.
Come on. I mean, like, what is this all about? I mean... Is it really that expecting?
I was surprised by it, honestly. Well, I was a little surprised that Eli's the one who got benched.
Okay, so just tell us what happened. You haven't said it yet.
So,
I mean, come on. You've been saying all these other things, but...
After starting 210 games...
I'm waiting here.
Eli Manning has been benched for the first time in his career, and his string of 210 consecutive starts has been broken. Second longest start streak in the NFL. 80 games behind Brett Favre at 290.
Drafted by the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, he was. And Eli Manning drafted by the Los Angeles Chargers. Traded for Phillip Rivers, who was drafted
for... No, not Los Angeles.
At the time, it was the San Diego Chargers. Traded for the fourth overall pick, who turned out to be Phillip Rivers. I'd say both trades worked out pretty well.
It just, you know, San Diego LA Chargers did not have any fruitful years with him, only in the beginning.
Yeah, and how many titles has it resulted for them? That would be none.
Still none.
And meanwhile, Eli's won two championships, won Super Bowl MVP in both games, and oh yeah, is the only quarterback to date to be able to beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, and he's done it not once, but twice. And you're deciding to bench him now after a 2-9 start.
Yeah. Honestly, in the position that the Giants were in, I feel like that was the right call.
I'm not necessarily sure about that.
Why?
Well, it's not so much... Well, I'm seeing both sides of the story here.
You're seeing the both sides, but tell us your side.
All right. It makes sense, but not for the backup, for who they're throwing in. It makes sense because you've already got...
No. Tell us why you don't like it.
Why I don't like it because...
Because you seem to be on that side, right? Which side are you on? Are you for it or against it?
I don't like it.
Okay, then go with that.
It's for twofold. One... I don't think for what Eli's done throughout his career and for what the Giants organization has set him up to fail, basically, it's not right to Eli. It's not. Because Eli's gotten you two Super Bowls and has put up fantastic numbers in his career. I'll get those exact numbers in a second. But Eli's put up great numbers in his career, won you two titles, started 210 consecutive games, and now, because the Giants are at 2-9, and because management, this is all on, this is partially on Jerry Reese, because he's surrounded Eli with a crap offensive line, which we've been complaining about for the longest time, but this year it seems especially bad, and he's got no help at all at left tackle. He's been getting beat up so many times, I'm surprised that he's not black and blue from the neck down. And to make matters worse, you're replacing him with Geno Smith? Are you kidding me? And any Jet fan, including myself, will tell you that Geno Smith is the biggest bag of crap in the NFL. If you're going to replace Eli, at least make sense and have a go with Davis Webb, your third-string quarterback, so you can at least have an idea of where this kid fits into future plans. Anybody can tell you that Geno's going to be gone at the end of the year. So what the hell is the point of starting him? Geno's the biggest crap. He's a waste of space. He's going to be gone at the end of the year anyway. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's out of the NFL by this time next year. Davis Webb at least has somewhat of a future. He's a third-round pick. And if I was a Giants fan, I'd like to be able to have some semblance of an idea of what the hell I'd be getting for when Eli decides to finally pack it in, whether it be at the end of this year or whether it be in possibly 5 years from now. I want to have an idea of who the hell is going to take over at quarterback for my football team. Is it Davis Webb? Is it going to be somebody that they're picking out of this year's draft like Sam Darnold? I don't know. But I'd at least like to be able to have an idea of who the hell is going to be running my franchise under center once Eli finally leaves. And hey, Geno Smith, why the hell are you deciding to do this now? Ben McAdoo, your head should be on a platter at this moment.
Well, it is on a platter. I'm sure him and Reese are most likely going to be gone. But, you know, you got to say that because of the embarrassment that the Jets, Giants are at 2-9, and you really don't want to get Eli killed for the rest of the season, you have to say that this was the right call. And your point of Geno Smith, I understand your passion just because of a Jets fan and seeing how he wasn't that good. Unfortunately, when we were supposed to see him improve with that improved offense in his third year, he got injured, got punched out by IK, and we didn't really see him play at all. And then he got injured the next season and whatnot. So, you know, this is like maybe a new, this is not like, but it is a new opportunity for Geno. Let's just see what he has. I mean, he's probably going to be gone, but, you know, why not try to check him out? Why not do that? And if Geno Smith doesn't do it as you predict, then sure, let Davis Webb have his reps in the starting position. But you got the guy who has 4 years of NFL experience. I don't care if you think it's good or bad. He does have experience. Let him play some games. Let other teams see if he's even worth it besides hearsay and practice. And then you can move on to, let's say, if he's doing all right, but you want to check out Webb in like the third or fourth of these last five games, then go for that as well. You can see how they're doing and whatnot. I mean, granted, the offensive line is not going to help out either way, so you might see that they're not going to perform him and whatnot, but how are they going to perform and make decisions with that offensive line? You got to see how they do under those kinds of pressure situations, or if they can actually try to run the offense and look at all the options that they see. So that's why I got Geno Smith to at least have that option to see, okay, is he going to be a competent quarterback or at least competent backup? Like, he could go into the Mike Glennon or the Fitzpatrick role where you know he's not going to be that talented quarterback that everyone wants, but at least he might become a suitable journeyman backup quarterback that knows how to run an offense. At least we hope to see, you can hope to see that.
And
also with Webb, again, as I keep on saying, if you see that Geno Smith really is underperforming, you know he's not going to have a bright future, then you move on to Webb and see if you could go on from there.
The whole
thing is that you don't want Eli to get killed in an unnecessary game when the Giants are completely out of it. These games mean nothing for the Giants, and it's right by the Giants to have their due diligence to check out what they have in all the positions available. I mean, they probably have, you could say they've done it with the wide receiver since they, all the main ones, went kaput earlier on in the season. And you probably have thrown some in on the defensive line and thrown some injuries. So basically, you have a lot of young kids there testing out. Now it's time to test out what you have at quarterback.
True. Again, the fact that the Giants are 2-9 has a lot to do with that. You can't.
It's not. And the whole benching is not because of Eli's performance.
Oh, hell no.
It's like, it'll be more of an outrage if what the Giants did, like what the Buffalo Bills did a few weeks ago with Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
That would have been an embarrassment to Eli Manning.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I know that it's hard for Eli and how emotional he was, but it's definitely an understandable thought as well. But if it was, if the Giants were, let's say, like two games under 500 and they're still in the hunt for that wild card spot and then you bench Eli, okay, then I can see your point with all this outrage. I think this outrage is just everyone trying to give their hot takes. I know I heard a lot of the former NFL players saying this is a horrible decision by the Giants, but I think that it's being overblown.
We'll get to tweets from Carl Banks, the former Giant linebacker, because some of that stuff, I got to admit, was pretty entertaining as it happened.
Yeah, very, very passionate.
We'll get to Carl Banks' tweets in a little while. We'll get to Steve's opinion and Danny's as well in a few minutes on this. But Eli's stats for the year, and this is to piggyback your point, it's not on Eli.
It's not solely, but he's been pretty good.
62.5 completion percentage this year in 11 starts, 2,411 yards, 14 touchdowns, 7 picks. Eli hasn't been that horrible. I've seen worse quarterback jobs this year.
How many times has he gotten sacked, though? Is there a stat for that?
Yeah, I think it's 26. I guess 26 sacks for 160 yards loss.
Oh.
He's been sacked 6.2% of the time.
Thank you, Giants offensive line, which Jerry's thought was not going to be the problem, thought it was all going to be all hunky-dory, stick to the course. And it just blew up in his face and cost the Giants their season.
That's been the biggest problem for the Giants, I'd say, the last 3 years.
Yeah, it started with that offensive downturn when the defense was good, and then it trickled down to the defense just not caring at all. And that trickled down to a 2-9 season going into Week 13.
Which is why Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese are both going to be fired over this, I can almost guarantee it.
It's highly likely.
Yeah. But, all right, you want Steve's opinion first, or do you want the Carl Banks tweet? What do you want first?
Steve?
All right. So Steve sent his opinions at least on this, and it goes, and I quote, "The Giants made an absolutely ludicrous decision today in saying Geno will start this Sunday." By the way, for the record, the Giants are playing the Oakland Raiders. Anyway, back to Steve's thoughts. "It makes zero sense for these reasons. The Giants are awful, and it's clear that Eli is at the end of his career. Why not have him finish the season with his game-started streak still alive and then tell him we are going in a different direction? From there, he could be the starter or... he could be the starter on another team or even retire with his start streak intact. Now, I know some fans... are like, but the Giants need to tank, so this is the right move. Well, the Giants have been losing games all season with Eli as the starter. Chances are they were going to keep losing with Eli and get a top pick anyway. Also, it's not like Geno is going to be the Giants' quarterback of the future. If they are actually trying him out for next season, then the Giants have way more problems than I thought. This, to me, is the final nail in the coffin for both McAdoo and Reese." That I agree with completely. This pretty much sealed their fates. Although I personally think McAdoo's fate was sealed when players anonymously came out and said that the team has quit on him.
Yeah.
That I think was sealed a while ago. But
that's basically the first indicator that this is not going to work out and well for McAdoo.
Right. And McAdoo, I've always felt, was a glorified offensive coordinator anyway, who just got really lucky with a great defense last year. But I would have wanted, and part of me does want to see, would have wanted to have seen Eli keep the streak intact. And again, I could see both sides of the coin.
There's no way Eli was going to go for 297.
I know that, but I wanted to have seen the streak last at least to the end of the year. So Eli can decide, is it going to be worth it to keep playing and try to be able to build up my successor, or should I just call it quits?
I mean, also, you got to think that it's not as embarrassing as people make it out, because the Giants haven't said that this is the end for Eli's tenure as a New York Giant.
No, it's just one game. I
think this is going to be for the rest of the season, but it's not like Eli's done as a New York Giant.
No, I think now especially...
it's not like he's going to be cut or going to not play for them for the remainder of his lifetime.
Now, I think this could actually turn out to be a positive for Eli in that it's a fuel to the fire to basically tell Giants management, you decided, I know it's a tank year and I know we're 2-9, but you still decided to bench me at the end of last year? Screw you. I'm going to go out and I'm going to kick the crap out of everybody who gets in my way next year, and I'm going to build up my backup. Basically, I think Eli could turn this into motivation to be better next year and to sort of turn into the Giants version of Brett Favre, in that what Brett Favre did in Green Bay was he was able to mentor for 3 years Aaron Rodgers. And look at the career Aaron Rodgers has had. It's highly unlikely that the Giants are going to find the next Aaron Rodgers when they take a quarterback in the draft, because that's their biggest need right now. If not a quarterback, they need offensive line help, which is an even bigger need, I feel. But if they decide to go with a quarterback next year in the draft, have a motivated Eli here and ready to go to be able to mentor this kid and show him how to play quarterback in the NFL correctly. So that way, when Eli finally does either leave or retires, whoever his successor can take over and step into a flawless system. At least that's the theory as I see it.
I really hope one of those two backups are competent enough so that the Giants don't have to go for a quarterback and focus on their offensive line.
Yeah.
Because even if you get a quarterback in the first round, I mean, you're still going to have a crappy offensive line.
Yeah.
Unless you know your second pick is going to be that locked down.
It better be a locked down left tackle because that's your biggest weakness right now.
Exactly. So it all depends, of course, with how Geno and Webb perform.
Yeah,
a lot of pressure's under them, but you know what?
Geno's on the way out, though.
I mean, most likely, but again, if something crazy could happen, he might have actually learned a lot under this Giants system. You know, as a backup, got some reps, and hope we don't know it. What has been said about his if he's been practicing on those off days or stayed extra hours. So that's something that we never heard of. But hopefully, his time here as a backup of the New York Giants has served him well.
Yeah, that's the prevailing hope, I think, for Geno. And I think a lot of the criticism on Geno has slightly been unfair because he too had to deal with crappy Jets teams. I'll be the first one to admit that. Granted, a lot of the stupid mistakes Geno made were his own fault.
Yeah.
But still, I think he was thrown into a bad situation.
Have you heard anything about Geno besides up to this point?
Was it what, this year?
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing.
Exactly. If you heard like news with Geno Smith doing something crazy and whatnot, then yeah, then why even bother starting Geno? Then start Webb the whole way. But, you know, Geno deserved his due.
And he's getting it now. It's like, all right. Look, I know
if he's injured, then he's not going to play in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, now, Geno, I know you don't have as competent a weapon as you've had with the Jets the last couple of seasons, but if you can try to make something out of this, I'll be pleasantly impressed.
Yeah.
I will be. Now, what did Danny... I got to ask, what did Danny have to say overall?
I thought I saw what he said, but I can't seem to find it.
All right, well...
Oh.
Go ahead. What are Danny's thoughts on this?
This is all I have from Dan. That's why I couldn't find it. Just one line.
Okay.
McAdoo is a worthless piece of
jealous
coward of a head coach.
Yeah. That's all he had?
He said, Matt, add this to my stuff, which means he probably messaged you about it.
He did, but it had nothing to do with the Giants. That was the only thing I saw in the Giants.
Yeah. So, that's all Dan had to say, unfortunately. And Matt is trying to look to make sure Dan didn't say anything. And
no, that was it. That was his only thought. I mean, he had thoughts on... the Pats and the Eagles, but that was about it. And the Aqib Talib fight.
Oh, we can definitely talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah,
but
we have to.
You said Carl Banks said some crazy things.
Yeah, Carl.
Is it crazy? I don't know. What did he say,
Carl Banks went off. This was about 2 hours ago. Somebody had tweeted Carl Banks that said, inquiring minds want to know what you're thinking about this move by McAdoo. And it says, bleeped up. I'm censoring myself. Or do you want to use the Jericho thing? It's up to you.
No. Just continue on.
All right, so it's bleeped up. And Banks continues, I am very emotional about this Eli blank. The guy who gives everything, for better or worse, never missing a game, and this is how it ends. Not number 10. He deserves better. He gave his all when better wasn't there for him. And this is how it ends. I hurt for him.
It makes it seem like that this is Eli's end as a New York Giant.
I know, but wait, there's more. This is all coming about 4 hours before we started recording.
Yeah, I know.
I will say it again. He deserves better, and yet he gave his all when better wasn't available. Remember this. He didn't quit on his team a single damn play. Let that sink in. He never quit on a single play.
Yes.
And this is all caps from here on out. I'm going to say this, and I'm done. Eli Manning did not quit on his team. He didn't take the easy way out and never bitched about what was given him. He showed up when many of these so-called pros quit on him. And that is how it ends. Bleep. It's a four-letter expletive I can't repeat on the air.
Yeah, and that's why the Giants are 2-9, and that's why the Giants are in position to see what they have on every facet of the game.
Exactly, and this is coming
from... And it's not about Eli and the streak. It's not... Eli's streak is taking precedent over what the Giants need to do.
No, the Giants need to look at their future, and it's can we move on past Eli Manning, and is that option here right
now? I know.
Now?
It's not a result of Eli Manning's play.
No.
It's a result of the New York Giants' failure to do anything right this season as a team.
Thank you.
This is a team responsibility. This is all on the team.
You know, it's all on management
and
coaching.
And it's not about Eli and his dedication and his streak. And that is what is wrong with all these hot takes going off about Eli didn't deserve it. Of course he didn't deserve
it. Nobody deserved it.
I mean, he talked about it with Reese, and he's going to talk about it with...
he talked about it with McAdoo.
Yeah, he talked about it with them, but he's talking about it also with Mara and Tish as well. Like I heard in the press conference, or, you know, not press conference,
the interview
about that, talking to them later. But, you know, Eli handled with class. He understands the situation. He knows that this is what needs to be done, like a professional should.
And
as what Carl Banks said, he is a professional that doesn't quit. And if the team's decision is to start Geno Smith and Webb to see what they have, the professional should say, okay, let's see what we have, because I know my time is limited, and it's best for the Giants to see if they are worth it.
And you could tell in his interviews after it was announced that he was going to be benched in favor of Geno Smith, at least for Sunday against the Raiders, he was emotional, yeah.
Of course, why would he be? You started since week 11 in 2004.
And you haven't missed a start since.
Exactly. Of course you would be emotional. That job security for 13-plus years?
Not bad for a guy who was traded for somebody else who was drafted fourth.
I know.
The Phillip Rivers deal. Not bad at all, but you can tell Eli was unhappy, but he also realizes, look, this is part of the job that goes down with the NFL, and I'm gonna do what I have to do to make sure that Geno Smith is ready to play against the Raiders on Sunday.
Especially in a league that sometimes stands for not for long.
Yeah, exactly.
For and like the average expectancy of an NFL player is 3 to 4 years, and he's basically
13 years.
Yeah, almost like quadrupled. Did it by five.
And it's,
and it's like,
that,
come on.
Playing quarterback in the NFL is always a high risk job. Because outside of, like, the linemen, quarterbacks usually get hit the hardest the most in the league because everybody's trying to... Most defensive players that I've talked to, at least the guys we played... You know, we went to high school, we played football, and I've talked to college football players. Anybody on defense will tell you their ultimate goal is to try to kill the quarterback. Or who's ever got the ball.
I mean, after the mainstay of these three quarterbacks from the 2004 draft, who has lasted longer than those three?
There is nobody. It's Eli. Phillip
I mean, 2005.
Rivers,
do you remember? Do you remember anyone from 05? Do you remember anyone from 06 that is still playing?
Not off the top of my head. Not as far as quarterbacks.
Exactly. Though. Who's the next starting quarterback? You know, which draft class has after those three has the longest tenure? I mean, you got to look that up to figure it out. And Matt's trying to do that, but it's not a lot of time.
I know.
Because now Matt's going through every draft class.
Yeah, but. Surprisingly, the top pick in the 05
draft. Oh, okay, so I'm wrong.
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, yeah, okay. So after Alex Smith, though, because I forgot that he was drafted in 05.
Yeah, Alex Smith was the number one pick.
See, we even forgot about that.
24th overall pick in the 05 draft, I think it's some guy who's kind of good. Aaron Rodgers.
Well, there goes my boy.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to look.
Okay, Aaron... let's go a few years later. I mean, it's hard...
No,
Matt, here's what you do, is that you look up the starting quarterbacks instead, or, you know, like on the roster, like for each team, like not starting quarterbacks, but all the quarterbacks that you have in the NFL.
That's what I'm trying to look up.
I would rather look at NFL football reference.
No, I know. Starting quarterbacks in the NFL based off draft class. Blaine Gabbert was drafted 2011.
Okay.
Matt Ryan, 2008, third overall.
Okay, so you have one there.
Joe Flacco, 18th overall, 2008.
Two there.
Tyrod Taylor, 2011.
Wow, that long? Jeez.
Yep. Cam Newton, 2011. Mitch Trubisky last year. Andy Dalton, 2011. DeShone Kizer, 2017.
Uh-huh.
Dak, 2016. Paxton Lynch, 2016. Matthew Stafford, 2009.
Yeah, Stafford.
Brett Hundley, Green Bay, 2015, but Aaron Rodgers was taken in 2005. Tom Savage, 2014. Jacoby Brissett, 2016. Blake Bortles, 2014. Alex Smith, 2005. Phillip Rivers, 2004.
Yep, as I said.
Big Ben, 2004. Matt Moore, 2016.
Wow.
Matt Moore, 2007, was undrafted.
Okay, well, that doesn't count.
Yep.
I mean, he's lasted that long, 10 years.
Jared Goff, 2016.
But he's also, here's the thing, Matt Moore wasn't a prominent starter as well.
Case Keenum, undrafted. He's a starter in Minnesota. 199th overall, Tom Brady, 2000.
Yes.
Drew Brees, 2001, 32nd overall pick.
Okay, I mean, so you do have Josh McCown.
2002.
But he's been a journeyman.
Derek Carr, 2014. Carson Wentz, 2016, second overall.
Ben.
Big Ben, 2014 to 2004, 11th overall. C.J. Beathard, who's the starter for the 49ers, 2017, 104th. Russell Wilson, 2012.
Fitz in 05.
Fitz, 2005, wow, 250th.
How about that? The 2005 draft class is a stud
class.
Pretty
good. And then the last two are Mariota, 2015, second overall, and Kirk Cousins, 2012.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, so, Fitz's replacement, Jameis Winston, also drafted same year as Mariota, 2015.
Yeah, so I guess it kind of like debunks my point, but maybe not, because if you think about all those like number one overall picks as a quarterback, you know, Sam Bradford, he's been injured on and off. How much can he play? Mm-hmm. And also you had like, I'm trying to remember. Who was that horrible Oakland quarterback? That
Jamarcus Russell, yeah.
And, yeah, so, like, you have all of those quarterbacks, and it's just...
But then again, you could also find guys that were picked late in the draft. Tom Brady went 199.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we're being very tangential right now.
Matthew Stafford, first overall pick 2009.
Yes, yes. But the whole point is that Eli has outlasted so many quarterbacks that were chosen as the number one pick or highly touted quarterbacks, and... He has definitely earned his due, but
yeah, that's saying it nicely. Yeah. I'm trying to check number one picks.
I don't care anymore, Matt. I know. It doesn't matter anymore.
No, I'm just looking it up for me just for the hell of it.
I know. And because of this, I lost my point.
Sorry. Yeah, let's face facts. The Giants have shot themselves in the foot so many times, it seems like a Jets kind of move. Because
I don't think so.
I do.
Why do you think it's a
because
Jets kind of...
Well, no, it seems like with the way that... If you had told me at the start of the year that going into Week 13, that there was a New York team that was 2-9 and just been to their starting quarterback, and there was another team that was 4-7 and still had a realistic shot at the playoffs, I would have thought you were talking about, okay, the Jets benched McCown at 2-9 and the Giants were sitting at 4-7. But no, it's the other way around. It's the Giants at 2-9 benching their starter and the Jets still at 4-7 with McCown still going, fighting for a playoff spot, which I think is unrealistic at this point with the way things happened against Carolina.
The Jets are going to wait until they're mathematically out before they try any of those two.
I know. I mean, it's been a working project with both guys.
Yeah.
With Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg, and Petty got, I think, more of the playing time last year than Hackenberg did.
It's crazy that they have no confidence that they have still not taken the starting quarterback.
They haven't found the guy.
I know they haven't found the guy, but like they haven't outperformed Josh McCown.
Which is saying a lot.
It is saying a lot. And
see, the last starting quarterback that the Jets drafted that I actually had confidence in, to a degree, was Mark Sanchez, but the one that I really had the most confidence in was Chad Pennington.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that one.
Yep. Pennington was the last Jets quarterback that they drafted outside of Joe Namath that I actually had confidence in. And I mean, they've had a couple of good ones. They didn't draft Boomer Esiason, but they traded for him. They had Ken O'Brien, who they drafted. But Pennington's the only one in my lifetime that the Jets have actually drafted and cultivated to being a solid, serviceable quarterback in the NFL.
It's amazing how teams just can't seem to cultivate a quarterback. And I know it's going to a different place, but it also talks about like how NFL teams can't seem to nurture the backup quarterbacks or, you know, let a young quarterback actually simmer and rise and let them rise to the top.
I know.
It's always like you got to worry about the next game. You got to worry about the starter, the game plan, and not care much more about developing your backup quarterback or your rookie project that you picked up in the draft to see if he's really got some good stuff as a quarterback.
Everybody's under the theory and the belief that you have to win now, which is, I get it. Everybody wants to be able to be that team that wins a championship every single year.
There has to be a better system to develop these quarterbacks at the NFL level.
Is.
It just seems like a lot of it is like a mother bird pushing her children off the nest to see if they can fly.
Right.
It's fly or die.
Pretty much. And
that's just not right to really cultivate talent.
No, it's
not. To make them rise into stars and make the NFL a healthier league overall with all these star quarterbacks.
The Packers kind of did that with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean,
they had time to do it. They had Brett Favre right there already.
So, but still, it's like, you know, you got to have some mediocre stuff before you can really build into it.
It's kind of like...
You know, the whole minor league systems. You don't have all these young players come up and play in the professional level because they're not ready yet. And a lot of these quarterbacks are not ready because they're just thrown into the fire with all these professional defensive that knows all these schemes. They're going to just ransack them until they are injured or incompetent.
Well, that's the thing, though. And it's one of the things that's driven me nuts about the NFL is that the NFL doesn't have a minor league system like the rest of the sports do. The NBA has a D-League. The NHL and Major League Baseball have established minor league systems.
I mean, with all those billions of dollars that the NFL makes in revenue,
even though the numbers are down this year.
Yeah, but still, I mean, before this or stuff, they still have billions of dollars in revenue.
Yeah.
Why can't they, you know, use some of that money to do some better quarterback development? Like all 32 teams hire, the quarterback coach is usually dealing with the starter quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's have a quarterback coach that deals with the up-and-coming talent. You know, with the backups, let that assign a coach that works with the developing quarterbacks.
Right.
Let them grow.
It would be nice.
Let them work with the fundamentals and all that stuff. I mean, yes, you could do that during your off hours or like during the off days and stuff, but those guys need more attention than they are getting.
Yeah, and that could have possibly worked for Geno Smith with the Jets because Mark Sanchez was your starter when they picked up Geno. It's like, all right, Sanchez is a starter. Why not have somebody work with Geno to be able to develop him in case, God forbid, Sanchez gets hurt? Jets didn't do that. And that's why I think most Jet fans, myself included, hated Geno Smith.
Exactly.
And now I feel bad. I genuinely feel bad for Giants fans for having to go through this, to having to watch Geno Smith. And I just, honestly, I feel bad for Giant fans for realizing what I've gone through all these years as a Jet fan. It's now the Giants that have, they've been an organization that handles things very, very well, especially compared to what you see with the Jets. Because if you look at things with the NFL, especially here in New York, the sideshow circus is usually more the Jets. Well, the Giants actually have a better grasp on things and know what the hell they're doing. This year, it kind of seems like it's the other way around. Granted, the Jets have had their moments where it's like, what the hell are you doing? But it seems like that's been more of the Giants' MO this year, which is really making me feel like 2017, from an NFL perspective, in New York, is like I've stepped into the damn Twilight Zone. That's what it feels like because the Jets are dealing with what they're dealing with. It's like, what the hell's going on? I thought this year was going to be a good year for the Giants. I never expected Philly to be 9-10-1 now and tops in the division, but they're sitting where they are in the division. The Giants are now mathematically eliminated from the playoffs and fighting it out with Cleveland and San Francisco for the worst record in the NFL and for who might get the top pick, which probably still going to end up going to the Browns because I don't see Cleveland winning a game the rest of the year. So, what are you going to do, right?
Exactly.
And I'm sure cooler heads will probably prevail over the next couple of days.
Unlike that in Oakland this past week.
Oh, yeah. The fight with Crabtree and Akeem Tlaib. This is stemming all after what happened last year with Tlaib grabbing the gold chain off Crabtree's neck during week 17 and pulling it off. It happened again this week, 32 seconds into the football game.
Yeah,
and it led to a full-blown fight.
Yeah, even Tlaib said he was going to do it again. And yeah. Crabtree was like, no, you're not. I'm going to tape my chain on. And you know what? It's still got ripped off.
So, here's it. Yeah. No, go ahead.
No. I lost my thought already, Matt.
Sorry.
Because you just like to interrupt.
Well, excuse you.
Yeah, no, excuse you.
Well, here's a bright idea, Michael Crabtree. Stop wearing gold chains in the field. That might help.
But, you know, maybe it's his good luck chain.
All right, then find a safer place to tape it than around your neck.
But that's what he does. It's like his thing.
All right, then if you knew Tlaib was going to go after it, why keep wearing it? Why make it a visible
target? Because it's that important to him. It's, you know, it could be like his lucky rabbit's foot, but instead it's a gold chain.
Yeah, all right.
But, like, I heard an argument that Crabtree shouldn't be suspended as much as Tlaib was.
Why?
Because when someone was that physical, like, you knew it was going to happen, and he prepared it, and Tlaib ripped it off, Crabtree had to respond back. It's not like he's going to, like, turtle and do nothing.
Exactly.
So the fight had to happen, but for someone to say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to cause havoc, and actually do it, and saw the hat and made the havoc all happen, the troublemaker should be suspended more than what Tlaib got. Yeah. I mean, what the Crabtree got.
Both got 2 games. So you're saying it should have been at least 3 for Hakeem Tlaib?
Yeah, because he started all, he instigated all, he warned everyone that's going to happen and made sure it happened.
Right.
And all Crabtree did was responded to it.
Which is what Crabtree
in a way
done.
That most people would have responded, exactly. Which was fighting.
Which is what you should have done in the first place.
Exactly.
So I'm like, you're going to make that stupid mistake, Tlaib? Fine, let's go. And that's exactly what happened.
I like how you're always on the same page with me.
Yeah, I know.
It really doesn't make arguments that compelling.
I know. But, I mean, should it have been more? Yeah. But should Crabtree have been wearing the chain? Hell no.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you knew what was coming,
okay, now we're disagreeing.
If Tlaib said in the press that he's going to go after the gold chain, why squash the issue right then and there and just be like, you know what?
Because he's a human being with emotions and feels like that chain means a lot to him.
Then keep it in the locker room where you know it's not going
to
get ripped
up your
neck.
It means a lot to him to wear it during the game.
Then find a way to be able to hide it under your pants better to where he can't grab at it.
You don't put your chain in your pants.
I said pads!
I thought I said pants, no. But you put it around your neck.
No, keep it taped down underneath your shoulder pads.
He probably did that until saw it.
The bottom of your chest.
He probably did. We don't know where he taped it.
And then do your best to get the hell away from Tlaib, because you know he's
going
to be going.
He can't. Tlaib was probably covering him.
Then find a way to go to the other side of the field before the ball gets
snapped.
Well,
he probably did, but Tlaib still got to the chain. It's like you make things sound like, oh, he should have done this. He probably did, and it didn't work. And Tlaib
32 seconds into the football game, common sense should have been able to tell you, okay, I'm going to be covered by Hakeem Tlaib. Fine. I'm going to go to the other side of the field. I'm going to do whatever the hell I can to stay away from him.
And quit on the play just so he can get away from Tlaib like a coward?
You don't want to get the chain ripped off? Yes.
You don't think like that. You think like an NFL player and do your thing as an NFL player, as a professional.
Do your job and try to stay away from Hakeem Tlaib. Common sense.
That's easier said than done, Matt.
Either that or knock him on his ass one play, and maybe that won't get him to go after the gold chain.
That's easier said than done. And you know that if Tlaib didn't succeed the first time, he was going to do it over and over and over again.
Then
until
keep knocking him on his ass over and over again or get the best revenge of all.
Yeah, like that's
going to
happen
the
all the time. You know that there was going to be a time later on if Crabtree kept on doing it, there was going to be a time that Tlaib would have done it anyways.
Then if Tlaib's going to do it, don't let him get
you
to
just,
it.
You just
throw the first punch. I don't care.
That's not how it works.
Keep going.
No,
it's like you're following up. Keep going.
No, that's not how it works. You don't throw the first punch before, because that means that he started instigating.
Tlaib started it last year.
Crabtree, I said. If you're saying that Crabtree should punch Tlaib before Tlaib gets the chain.
Exactly.
That doesn't how it works. He's supposed to play the route like he should as a professional, as he did.
He was also that is true, and he was also making the block the first time around.
Exactly.
Which is what started it. So then do a better job of tucking your chain into your pants.
He probably did.
Probably
what's
better, wasn't good enough.
What's better than taping it down and tucking it under your pads?
That way it makes it harder.
What's better? He did that.
Fine. Tape it inside your helmet.
No, you don't wear your helmet in your helmet.
No,
you
don't
wear
your chain
off, in your helmet.
Wrap it up and stick it to the top
of
your head.
No. You don't tell him what to do like that. No.
Fine, then give it to one of the
coaches. He's not doing it. He likes that chain a lot to be part of him on the football field, that he wants to wear it around his neck like he does all the time. Why should he succumb to a bully who wants to rip his chain off?
Then you got 2 choices. Either find a way to conceal the chain better or smack him in the face before he gets the chance to do anything.
Also, during the fight, Crabtree took off his helmet and Tlaib didn't, which means that Crabtree was ready to fight while Tlaib was like, nope.
Tlaib was a chicken.
Exactly. He's a coward, bully, chicken is what
it
seems like.
Which is why the suspension
like
should have gotten. And
started the argument. And started the whole thing.
By doing this last year.
Tlaib should have been suspended more.
No, that I agree. That I do agree with you on.
Than Crabtree.
That I agree completely. It should have been.
Both should have been suspended, yeah, for fighting. I understand that.
But it should have been more for Tlaib.
Yes.
It should have been at least another game or 2 extra. Now, somebody else is going to have to explain this to me. What's the definition of a catch?
Oh, God.
In the NFL?
You going with that whole thing?
I have to.
You do. With a few minutes left, but go on.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll make this fast.
No, you don't have to make it that fast.
All right. So Austin Seferian Jenkins, again, gets robbed of a touchdown that would have given the Jets a greater lead than they had. Because at the time the Jets were down a point, I think it was like 18-17. Seferian Jenkins makes a catch, which would have given the Jets a 6-point lead. with the extra point tacked on. 5 points without it. But instead, it's ruled an incomplete pass because the ball moved ever so slightly. This has been going on since the whole incident with Dak Prescott in the playoffs against the Packers, and I've hated it. This is the one thing that has always driven me nuts. Now, this isn't the sole reason why the Jets lost the football game, but it is a very big contributing factor.
I mean, the Jets would have played so much more differently if they had the lead.
Exactly. And I don't think they would have had the botched problems with special teams.
You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you never know. They could have blown it, and we could have said, oh, the Jets really blew it. Another fourth quarter collapse, yada, yada, yada. But look, they could have had the lead. And the minute, detail-oriented, meticulous detail replay screws over
which
another...
Which is so stupid.
Another thing, which everyone knew was a catch.
Now, that's the one thing I've hated about instant replay. Again, I don't mind it.
But that's what instant replay was not supposed to be used for.
No, exactly. Instant replay was supposed to be used for the egregious botches made by the officials.
Exactly.
And now, I think the refs are starting to second-guess themselves more often.
Exactly.
On anything that looks even remotely close. It's
which is part
touchdown
of the problem.
The field. No, let's go to the instant replay.
Well,
the hell with that.
Well, no, all touchdowns are subject to review.
No, I know that.
But, so, you can't really say anything like that. But it's part of the reason why the NFL is losing its fan base.
And that I agree with. Now, baseball and hockey...
Definitely part of the reason.
Yeah, and again, baseball and hockey also have instant replay, and this is a problem that I've had with those two sports as well. It's instant replay was supposed to be utilized for the egregiously horrible calls, and now it seems like everybody's minutely picking at it.
There has to be a... You got to rewrite the rules so you can't... You know, say it's off by a millimeter.
With the catch rule, I agree completely.
Oh,
but
I'm just saying in all aspects of professional sports, you can't do the super egregious.
The NHL is starting to get to that because now...
But the offsides calls.
Yeah, it's going to cost you 2 minutes and your timeout. It's going to cost you a 2-minute penalty.
Yeah, that's a stupid call.
How is that stupid? I like that rule.
No.
It makes coaches' challenges a lot smarter in the NHL now, which is also what I think should be done more to penalize people in both baseball and football for challenging egregious plays. Now, granted, with the Seferian Jenkins catch, it wasn't a Carolina challenge.
It's an NFL official challenge, yes.
Right. But still, I think the NFL needs to like cut back on it, because that's partially why the numbers are down. And did you watch any of the game on Sunday?
I was busy.
Okay. Well, they had one shot of the reaction of a Jet fan, which was priceless. It's hard to describe, but it's like, it's the oh my God really look on... And I'm sure everybody's seen that look. It's just like, what the hell just happened kind of look. And it was the perfect description for most Jet fans. And I had to stop myself from screaming out at the top of my lungs because I was still at work when the call was overturned. I had to stop myself from swearing at work because of how bad the call was. And it's just something that I think the NFL and all sports, really, for the replay rule, really need to get taken, really need to have looked at and defined a little bit better. It may help things out. On that note,
We can't really talk about anything else as we wanted to.
Yeah, I know, but hey, this was with what's happened today and what happened
on Sunday
in the NFL.
Lots of stuff going on in the NFL that
totally
we had
worth it
to talk about.
Totally worth it. So let's pick football game, shall we?
This is the Sully and Steve on Sports Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
With 5 weeks left in the regular season and 5 weeks left in our 2017 Sully C Pigskin Pick'em predictions, things are heating up once again.
Yay!
And you know why?
Why?
Because the gap that Steve had is closing in.
Ooh.
And a recap of that starts with our first game of Tennessee at Indianapolis, where it was a 20-16 win by Tennessee, and it went over the 4-point differential, over both Steve's and Dan's prediction of 2 and 3 respectively, where Matt picked 14 and got the win because Price is Right rules.
Yep.
So Matt has that one. The second game is Philadelphia slaughtering Chicago 31-3. And the point differential went over all three of our hosts, but Dan was the closest by picking 17. Philadelphia to win, I should say.
All right.
Now we have the Jets and Carolina game, where as you said, Matt, if that touchdown happened, who knows? Danny could have won because Danny picked the Jets. But nope, it was a 8-point differential of 35-27, and Steve just missed it. He picked the Carolina Panthers to win by 7, and it just went over by 1. So Matt got that game since his prediction was by 10.
Yeah.
But Steve didn't get this one wrong. This next game, he was the only one to pick the Rams to win.
Yeah, I know.
As they beat New Orleans, stopped their winning streak with a score of 26-20. The point differential doesn't matter. Steve takes that.
Yes, now, he does.
And now Steve tries to salvage, tries to take over Matt, and tries to extend his lead as he ties up Matt. Two correct predictions made as the Steelers defeated Green Bay 31-28, a point differential of 4. And Steve was the closest with 10. And Dan and Matt, you guys picked higher. So that's why Steve won. So now it's 2-2 going into the Monday night game of Baltimore and against Houston. Will Matt get it? I spoiled it by saying yes. Matt did get it with a 23-16 win by Baltimore. A point differential by 7. And it just passed Dan, who predicted Baltimore to win by 6. Steve predicted Baltimore to win by 4, while Matt, again, was the closest without going over by predicting Baltimore to win by 10. So Matt takes week 12.
Yeah.
And this is his fourth win of the season, highest of all of our hosts. But because Matt has more last place positions as well, he stays in second place. But closes the gap with Steve now leading by 2. Steve has 18 points. Matt has 16. And Steve and Dan closes
you.
Up the rear with 13.
Yeah. The Price is Right rule. The Price is Right rules have been killing me all year.
Exactly.
Which is
it killed Steve and Dan also in this one.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, like, comparing it to last year and the year before that, the Price is Right rules weren't in effect, and that's why I was able to dominate.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm okay with this.
Well, yeah.
I like the Price is Right rules.
Yeah, because you won.
No, I like the Price is Right rules because now it makes it a lot more competitive amongst the three of us.
Yes, of
All
course.
Right, so, now we go into week 13, and what do we have on the docket for this week?
As always, we're going to start off with our Jets and Giants games. The first one on the schedule is Kansas City hosting the Jets. Two struggling teams. Which one will rebound?
And that's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to be a lot tighter a game than I would have originally expected because of how well the Jets have played and because of how badly Kansas City struggled the last couple of weeks. I take Kansas City to win it, but KC wins by a field goal.
Just 3 points, huh? So that means that you will have the lowest point differential prediction out of all three as both have picked Kansas City as well. But Steve, he predicts them to win by 7 points.
Okay.
And Dan basically says a touchdown and a field goal, 10 points.
All right. With that being said, Jeff, next game. Turn down for what?
The second one is, of course, the other New York team. The woeful Giants go all the way to Oakland. Will the Giants, with Geno Smith as their starter back, get a win? And I know I can hear you laughing already, so I'm going to put you as Oakland.
Yeah. The Raiders get back on track. 10-point win for Oakland.
Can you believe that the AFC West, as it started, was pretty good, but now it's really mediocre?
Yeah.
That
there was
a mediocre Raiders can still have a chance at that title.
They were expected to be one of the top divisions in football, no less. AFC West.
And now look where it is.
I know.
I mean, the Chargers still have a chance, for goodness sakes.
Which is a miracle in and of itself.
And your 10 points was the lowest point differential again.
Okay.
As Steve predicts Oakland to win by 14, and Dan has the highest of them slaughtering the Giants by 21.
All right, so we have diversity in scores, and I like that, Jeff. Next game. Turn down for what?
So now starts our randomizer portion of the game. Four teams. What has the holy randomizer given us this time?
Oh, hail the magic randomizer.
Starts off with two returning teams from last week. The Saints looking for a rebound in an NFC South matchup against Carolina. The home team, I should say, is New Orleans.
That's going to be a tough game because the Saints are coming off the end of the losing streak last week. Carolina got by the Jets. I still think the Saints are the better team. This is going to be a hard-fought football game, but Saints come out with the victory. The game is in New Orleans, correct?
That's what I said.
All right, Saints win it by 7.
7 points. Matt really screwed himself over in this one, as this score prediction is locked in.
All right.
Both Steve and Dan also, again, picked the Saints with you. And I say that you're screwed over because Steve predicts the Saints to win by 6. So basically, you have to hit the nail on the head.
Right.
With that one to win.
And what about Danny?
Dan predicts St. Louis to win.
St. Louis.
St. Louis. What's New Orleans Saint? Saint St. Louis. Okay. Silly me. I got ahead of myself.
It's all right.
Because of the next game. But the Saints win by 10.
All right. And with that being said, next game.
Turn down for what?
As I was getting ahead of myself, because this team used to play in St. Louis, and they are back yet again. The Rams are back, and they are traveling to Arizona, an NFC West divisional matchup. What say you, Matt?
Rams get the win.
Easily? Is it going to be a slobber knocker? Is it going to be a stop the damn match?
No, JR, it's not going to be that bad. 10-point win for the Rams.
Oh, close game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm giving Arizona a little bit of credit. I may be overcompensating for that. But Goff and Gurley are going to do their thing. Rams get the win by 10.
Once again, everyone has picked the Rams to win. Steve thinks it's going to be a tighter game with the Rams winning by 4. While Dan thinks it's going to be another beatdown prediction with 20 points.
Steve's really going with a low full 4 points.
Yeah.
4 points?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that close, but Steve, to each his own. Jeff, next game.
At least with this one, it's like, you know, you got different ranges of scores.
No,
I
know.
It's not like someone's going to screw someone else over.
I know, which makes it fun.
Exactly. So here we go to game 5.
All right.
Turn down for what?
And it is the Monday night game, which I will mark you down as a win for Pittsburgh because they are in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's a win for the Steelers.
Now you just have to say to me,
what's the score?
Yeah, exactly.
13 Steelers.
13 locked and loaded. You have the highest point differential prediction out of the three, as Dan is the one that's going to be in a tough place as he predicts the Pittsburgh Steelers to win by 6. And I say that because Steve predicts the Steelers to win by 5.
5?
Yes.
I see Steve is deciding to lowball on this one.
Yeah, but again, this time Dan has to hit the prediction on the button.
Yep. But either one of them do.
Yes.
And
no, not really, because again, a low-scoring game, 5 or less, Steve wins.
Yeah, that is true.
Dan has to get that 6.
Yeah, if he doesn't, he's in big trouble. All right, Jeff, last game.
Turn down for what?
And we go all the way back to 1 o'clock as we now have an AFC South divisional matchup. Can the Tennessee Titans close in on the Jacksonville Jaguars as Tennessee hosts Houston?
If Deshaun Watson had been healthy,
you keep on saying that. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, Houston. You're screwed. Tennessee wins it by 7.
Tennessee by 7 locked in as you again have the highest prediction out of the three. And again, for the 6th time,
wow,
all 3 of you have picked the same team. But this time, both Steve and Dan predict the same point differential.
3?
Of 3.
All right.
Correct.
Now, I can tell you honestly that there is no way possible that we could have known that we each picked the same teams.
No. Both Steve and Dan, I've messaged them separately.
Yep, and they gave their score separately, and I have not been able to see Jeff's computer. I'm sitting on the other side of it. I could not in any way, shape, or form have seen Jeff's prediction, seen what both of
my predictions. My predictions will just be the complete opposite because screw you all.
Exactly.
Whatever you say, I'm going the complete opposite.
Why? Because that's him, and that's how he rolls.
Exactly. This is my logic.
Jeff, shut this the hell down.
Turn down for what?
Hey, look at that. We got a few minutes to talk about something else if you don't want to talk about football anymore.
We got
about 3 minutes.
Okay, well, let's see. As it sits right now, as far as the NHL is concerned...
You really want to talk about hockey.
Of course I do. That's my thing. The hell with the NBA. Well, I shouldn't say that.
We all know the Knicks are a bad road team.
Yeah, they can't win on the road. They can't win on the road to save their lives. They are a game over 500 at 10-9 going into today, even though they've lost 3 straight. I'm impressed with the Knicks. I've been genuinely impressed with how well they're playing this year.
Still impressed, eh?
What?
Still impressed, eh?
Absolutely.
All right, so What do you want to say about hockey?
Yeah, all three metro area teams are in the playoffs. As of right now, the Devils lead the division, the Islanders are in third place, and the Rangers have the last wild card spot.
I mean, that division that the Islanders, Rangers, and Devils are in, that is another stacked division.
Yes, it is. But
somehow, no matter what, those three are in this division where it's the most competitive.
With Pittsburgh and Columbus and perennial President's Trophy winners, Washington.
Exactly. And even before it was condensed into four divisions, when it was just six divisions, yeah, the Islanders were always in the toughest division.
Yeah,
because Pittsburgh has been really good.
The Flyers are a pain in the ass.
Exactly. They've been always good. The Rangers and Devils also have been very good once. That was the previous Atlantic division.
Yep. I kind of miss that old division setup. I'm not going to lie.
I do too, but reasons.
Yeah. Why? The hell would lie? I do like the realignment, though, but I would have wished they would have kept it six divisions instead of four.
Yeah, but again, it's all because of Detroit and Columbus. Which makes sense that they have to be in the East because of the Eastern time zone.
And geographical location. Right?
Exactly.
No, that I agree with. And I also think now it'd be nice to see them expand to a 32nd team. Don't get me wrong.
Soon.
I'm loving what they're doing in Vegas right now.
Well, Vegas is definitely a Cinderella success story.
Yep. And I'd like to see a 32nd team
is
in
Vegas. Is Marc-Andre Fleury back?
No, I think Fleury's still hurt as of this recording.
I just laugh at that.
Why?
Just because it's Fleury.
I know. I mean, he's a solid goaltender, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy after the 09 Cup run.
Ha!
Like, it seems like it could happen to a better guy. And that's the Islander fan in me.
Yeah,
the
Islander fan in us, yes.
Yes. On that note, we have run out of time for this episode.
That's
of the
all you
show.
Had to say?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I couldn't ramble on any longer.
Positive, positive?
Absolutely positive.
Sure about that?
Couldn't be more sure of
100%?
Anything in my life right now. Absolutely.
200%?
1,000,000%, yes.
1,000% plus one?
You're trying to go higher than 1,000,000,000? Nice try, but you failed miserably. Next.
Double dare? Double dog dare positive?
Triple dog dare positive, yes.
All right.
On that note, we have run out of time for this episode of the show.
Physical challenge positive?
Slightly.
You got where that was coming from, right?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
All right. If you like what you heard on the show and you want to keep up with the sports world, Facebook.com/SullySteveOnSports. Twitter at @S_S_Sports using the hashtag SullySteve. Either way works. You get all your updates on the sports world, updates on this show, and you can interact with us. We'd be more than happy to answer your questions on social media. We've got the blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes of the show are on iTunes. Everything else can be found on SoundCloud. Just search Sully and Steve on Sports. Hit download, and you can take the show with you wherever you go. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever you don't want to leave on social media, email us, SullySteveOnSports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Third Mike, Dan, Steve, and Jeff, I'm Sully. We'll be back same time, same place next week. See ya!